thanks for hanging out, everybody. It's going to be a good show today. We got everybody here.
It's a full house.
We are the Valley Outdoors, as they say. Right, Don?
Who says?
Yeah, Don, are you here?
Okay.
You got a validate.
I'm here.
Man.
Okay. I'm here.
What's
with Don? He's got a little burr in his saddle or something.
Oh, no, he don't.
Well, you know, it's Governor's Fishing Opener.
Next week.
We've got a lot going on.
Yeah. And I finally, Don said he sent me the invite, but I never got it.
Well, I got you it now.
Anyway.
You'll be there.
We're going to have fun. We're feisty today. Hope you guys like a little bit of spice. We are going to be coming right back. A lot of cool stuff. Hang tight.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
You know, Ava. How do you put up with Don?
I don't know how I put up with myself is really what it boils down to, because
you guys only were heard off air.
I take full responsibility.
We worked together for several years, you know.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, had no idea.
No.
That's part of the problem. He's got no idea, Eva.
No.
Whenever we butt heads, it's because we don't understand each other. But then once we understand each other, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Actually, yeah. If you've ever heard the line from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, it says, next time when you're telling your little stories, have a point. It makes it much more interesting for the listeners. So I had to play that for Ava because she seemed to have missed a couple pieces in the middle of the conversation that she was telling us.
So, well, I just assume everybody can read my mind and what I'm thinking.
See, Don, I think that's a problem with.
She's underestimated my abilities.
There's men in the room. It's a little hard for, but women are really good at that.
Yeah.
However, I am fully aware of my.
I didn't have to say it. Okay. I was gonna say it, and
my
I
shortcomings.
Left it to you.
Yeah, it's all right. We're all on the same page now.
Okay, great outdoors.
Yeah.
What?
This is the great outdoors.
No, that's a different John Candy movie.
Did you get another turkey or no? You can't.
No, you can only get one.
Yeah.
You only get one. Two legs, two wings.
One beard.
One head, one beard.
I did get some feedback on last week's program, though.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
People next time, have a point?
Yeah, they said not drink so much water.
Yeah. Stay in the stand.
Yeah.
Then the blind line.
I don't know what he's talking about, but.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Okay, anyway.
All right, let's move off of that topic. Just got word that we'll be talking a little bit more about some Lake Michigan fishing this year. I've got a friend of mine and I will be doing quite a bit of fishing out of Port Washington this coming year. And the coho have started. And in fact, they are literally on fire right now out in that whole eastern shoreline of Michigan, Wisconsin, on Lake Michigan. And they're tied into shore too, which is super cool. You don't have to go very far. That's going to be fun, Donald.
Well, yeah.
Coho.
Are you just going to tell us about it, or are you going to let us experience it?
Well, I might.
Okay.
And, you
notice what he said when he opened that up?
What?
My friend and I.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear him say Ava or Don.
Well, no, because
neither one of us.
He and I are working on the boat and getting that put in the water this week. You have to drive it from Sister Bay.
When it's all ready, then you let us know, okay?
We're driving it around from Sister Bay down to Port Washington this week. Still sea trial going
and
on.
And Lake Michigan.
Yep. Yep. So it'll be, that will be entertaining.
And the coho are on fire. How do they do that in the water?
It's pretty easy.
Yeah?
Yeah. They're moving so fast that they cook themselves before you catch them. So you cook them, gill them, and grill them all at the same time.
I think what he means by that, Ava, is they're biting.
Yeah. Usually, in fishing terms, that's what it is, Don. Yeah. we call it, they're eating each other. They're so hungry. That's the way that works.
You think this guy better professional at some time or another.
Yeah, right.
I try. I was just, there was a tournament, Don, that I got word on this last week. And I'm going to read some weights to you. You guys aren't going to believe this.
Is it a walleye tournament?
Yeah.
And where was it held at?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to give you some numbers.
All right.
Fish number one, 12.38 pounds.
That was on Lake Erie.
Fish number two, 11.42 pounds. Fish number three, 13.69 pounds. 13.69 pounds.
I wasn't number one.
Fish number four, 11.74 pounds. And fish number five, it's a tournament, five fish limit.
Oh, these are all the same boat.
Five fish.
Five fish in the boat.
In the fifth fish,
yep.
11.12 in a tournament. Total weight, five fish, 60.35 pounds. Okay. Now, the top 10... To make the top 10, you had to have 40 pounds for five fish.
It's an 8-pound average.
It went 60.35, 58.11, 54, 52, 51.6, 49.38.
Wow. And you Lake know where Erie? That was? No, Lake Erie?
Nope.
Really?
Sakakawea.
Really?
North Dakota.
Wow.
Yeah. You want to talk about crazy. That was off the charts.
That is one like I haven't been on, but
the biggest one? 14.72.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
14.7?
14.7.
That's almost 15 pound walleye.
Glad you're good at math.
Yeah. That's almost.
It is.
Yikes.
That, my friend, that's crazy.
Well, I'm, you know, unless they were doing all of that in pre-fishing, I have to believe that somebody had 50 some pounds thought they were going to be right near the top.
I would suspect during the tournament. I mean, you're in 50 pounds, you're in top five.
Right, but I think you know you'd go into the scales thinking I got this. No. Nope.
No. Nope.
Unless they'd seen some really, really big fish in the pre-fish. But.
Pretty crazy, huh?
Yeah. That is crazy.
Never seen anything like that. That's unheard of, and it wasn't Lake Erie.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Hey, tell you what, stay tuned. We got some stuff coming up. We're going to talk about a voter discussion. They're talking about to or not to or allow forward-facing sonar. Hang tight. More coming right up. Obviously, you're still hanging in there. We always like to have you check us out on where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook. Caught you on that one, Don.
The Valley
Got
Outdoors.
You on Facebook at TheValleyOutdoors.com on Facebook. Check us out. A lot of cool stuff there. And, interactive page is great this time of year, especially when it comes to seasons when everything is going to be open, bass openers and all that kind of thing if you're
looking, on the website, yep.
Making it happen. So on the website, thevalleyoutdoors.com. And we didn't get to it, but I was going to talk a little bit about it. You know, Don, any of the rivers that you fish in spring, basically the walleyes and other fish that are of that ilk, they migrate to the dam, spawn, or in the upper water spawn, and then they return down to lower reaches of that body of water. And this year, they're already high-tailed it. Out of upper stretches of the river, and
you're referring to the Mississippi.
They're making anywhere. It could be Pierre. It could be, St. Clair. It could be, in Detroit area. It could, wherever your preference to go fish. If it's Green Bay, certainly heading out of the Fox River as well. So they really, we've had some decent weather, but the nice part is we had some rain. Clouded up the water a little bit and got some water levels that are coming up a bit. And that's a positive thing, especially when you have those spawning fish. You don't want the water to drop and have it expose eggs that are in the shallows where they can get to. So positivity there, that's a good thing, getting some water, and hopefully we can maintain some water level more so in a lot of the stretches of rivers that have last year were kind of a little bit of a dry, shall we say, Don?
Last year?
Yeah.
I think it was a little wet last year, wasn't it?
No. In spring, but I mean, not when it came to summer, it was
right.
Pretty bleak.
Later summer, it got really low.
Yeah, that was kind of a tough thing. Let's jump right into it. A lot of articles, conversation that we've had regarding forward-facing sonar. And one of the top muskie tournaments in Wisconsin has actually banned forward-facing sonar. And one of the reasons was that one of the guys that won an event, actually I think they caught 7 muskies because they had 3 forward-facing sonar units on each side of the boat. They had 6 of them in the boat. So they could see exactly where the muskies were. They cast it to them, and they hooked them. And they said, the tournament circuit said, done. No more.
Maybe explain a little bit how forward-facing sonar works.
Forward-facing sonar allows you to point the transducer out to, let's say, 100
any direction.
Some feet, 150 feet or whatever, 200 feet, 180 feet, and basically turn the transducer so wherever you want to look, you can see, and it literally will show an image of that fish live, real time, what it's doing, where it's exactly at, which way it, you can actually see what the shape of the fish is. So the detail is off the charts. You can see fish in the weeds. You can see it's pretty impressive. The problem is that if you have a bunch of those transducers, you have now a blanket image of that whole side of the boat, both inshore and offshore. And one of the big things is the open water fish have a tendency to be untouched because you're not casting a structure. You're casting it. You don't know that there's a fish out there. And now you have that capability, so those fish don't usually get targeted because it's obviously you can't get on exactly where the fish is. But you can get almost lead it and cast in front of that fish if you see it on that forward-facing sonar. So, point being, you're able to get bigger and more fish just simply by using that forward-facing sonar. The problem comes into play when you're looking at a prime example, Devil's Lake last year. They had a record catch in that tournament because forward-facing sonar was being used. Well, all those fish that are big also have, in this case it was walleye, they have a much higher mortality rate. And therefore, if you're touching that many more fish, the odds of that fish being not able to make it after a fight is much greater than, let's say, a bass or something like that. So, story comes, that's kind of laying out the groundwork. So in Wisconsin recently, there was some, obviously with all the debate, it's significant debate. If you go on the internet and you look at forward-facing sonar, it comes up with about I don't even know how many posts that are out there, videos, talk, professional anglers saying this is stupid, or another group says, why wouldn't this be allowed? Point being, Wisconsin threw this out to a number of respondents, and 18,800, so over 18,000 respondents, and 6,700 of them attended hearings in person or in an online survey. Now, the question was, do you support, the question was, one of 4AM presented to respondents, would you support banning the use of live scope and similar 360-degree imaging electronics in all Wisconsin waters. Again, come back to it, 6,800 of these people taking it, supporting such a ban, 36%. Another 6,200 did not support the ban, and 17% they had no opinion. So this is where it comes down to. The Conservation Congress advisory question regarding the new technology framed it this way. With the ability of these type of units to detect fish as far as 180 feet from the from the user, anglers have a far more efficient way to locate and catch fish. The type of pressure could reduce fish populations, which may lead to reduced bag limits for anglers. So in this particular case, the DNR's not said anything about the technology and what they're going to do. Some people feel it's just a matter of time. And I got to say, it's very polarizing because there's a lot of people that are, why wouldn't you let this? This is electronics. And the other people say, well, this is ridiculous because it's really impacting the fishery. Now, Tom Newstrom, we've had Tom on our show before. He's a guide out of Grand Rapids. Plus, he's also a board member for the group of MN Fish or MinFish, which I'm a part of as well, participating in the DNR, Minnesota DNR Walleye Work Group Advisory Committee. Has seen firsthand the evolution of fishing technology from the green box, underwater cameras to paper graph, and obviously now to as digital as the age has become. Technology can never be stopped, he said. There's been a lot of chatter about forward-facing sonar. I think what it's going to do eventually is it's going to affect fishing limits. It has to. And given the ability to put people in a position to catch fish, it's a big piece of the puzzle. And again, Minnesota DNR hasn't said anything about it yet, but he feels that there should be some type of regulation, which is, I don't know.
How would that work? I mean, first of all, these are not inexpensive pieces of equipment to put in a boat.
About $3,000.
And there are a lot of them out there already. So to regulate something that they've already spent the money on is going to result in some problems, I would guess.
It will. And I think the biggest issue I see is it will reduce bag limits. And what that will do is reduce participation for those that don't have it, because not everybody will have it.
Right.
But the problem is that it significantly impacts that technology significantly impacts the people that can't afford to buy it or don't want to buy it.
Right.
And so then the conversation comes up to, it's chicken or the egg. What are you going to do first? What do you think?
What do I think? I'm on the fence. And the reason I say that is I don't have one. I've never had a whole lot of problem catching fish without it. Maybe there should be some challenge left in the sport of fishing versus seeing the object out there that you're actually, I mean, you have sonars now that will give you a representation of the type of fish that might be in the area. Doesn't mean you know right where they're at. This does, from what I understand. I've never actually seen one yet.
Oh, no, it's...
But I've seen videos on them, and...
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I've got friends that have them, and they said it's amazing. When you're targeting, in this particular case, my friend was targeting trophy lake trout, mm-hmm, way up in Canada. And he goes in. And in that particular case, it's all catch and release, mm-hmm, no matter what. So right. You don't keep any of them there because you can never catch them small enough.
No, I will say the other thing that you will find is that in many cases, lake trout are deeper. The impact on pulling up one of those fish from 60, 70 feet.
Right.
The impact is not good on the fish. So this is really kind of where it comes down to.
Yes.
And I'm split as well. I think in tournaments, it should not be allowed.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it absolutely should not be allowed. Here's the reason. Tournament fishing, okay, use sonar, using your GPS. They said you can't use radar because they don't want people looking and seeing who's on what spot. that's, you don't do that. Okay, that's done. That's been eliminated, right? So it's a method of finding a spot where, or, hey, there's a bunch of boats there. I'm going to go there, right? So that's a methodology and technology that said, nope, you can't use it. So they have eliminated technology because it creates a either unfair advantage or it says, oh, there's nobody there. I'm going to go, right? The second piece of the puzzle is, if I'm going to go recreational fishing and I'm looking for crappie and I want to be successful, there is nothing that will put you on those fish faster than forward-facing sonar. You turn it, scan it, there's the school. How many times have you been fishing crappies, all of a sudden it disappeared?
No, what's more frustrating is the guy 12 feet over is pulling one after another, and there's nothing under my boat.
But again, but no. Point it.
So if I had a sonar, I'd be looking at his school of fish.
You pull over there and feel a school of fish, and you feel like, where the school of fish at?
Yeah.
It's if you're out alone and looking at some of these bays, which I've done in Minnetonka, and I can't figure out where the heck they went, all you have to do is turn the transducer, there they are, and cast over to the fish.
Right.
So the odds of you catching those fish have accelerated instead of me standing there trying to figure out what's going on. And I may not get a limit, but it's the challenge of figuring out where in the world did they go. So the point really comes down to, in all my friends that I talked to in the last probably 3-4 days, because I wanted to get an idea of, you know, their side of it, feel the same way. Don't leave home without it if you're going to go fun fishing, because it literally can change your day.
Okay, the downside of it is if you do use it and you say, there's my school of crappies, in 20 minutes you're done fishing. You could have your limit already. If you can follow the school around like that.
Absolutely.
And half the fun of going fishing is spending time on the water.
It is.
You know, it usually takes me when I go up to Canada because I don't intentionally fish for crappies. I usually am picking them up while I'm fishing
for walleyes. Yeah, walleyes, yeah.
And it'll take me the duration of the week to get my 10 crappies. But you can be selective, you know, small ones you throw back and you pick the nice eaters and that's what you put in the freezer.
Right, but the key piece here is you're going to have people that are going to be more successful, especially in a population of fish in a crappie situation where you could pull, have a four people in the boat and you could pull 40 fish, 10 a piece, depending on your body of water, whatever the body of water limit is, as opposed to, let's say, without that, let's say you got 15.
Well, the numbers are going to go down.
And
no question.
That is the complexity of the crux of the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, eventually what will happen is, like you said earlier, is the limits will go from 10 to 5.
Yeah.
And that's where we'll end up.
But the problem is then, too, you also decrease participation because people don't feel that that's worth going fishing.
Oh, yes. If you throw them all back, you can fish all day.
Yeah, but Don, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah.
I'm talking from the global perspective and what it does to the impact of fishing.
Yeah,
it does it. It negatively impacts. We've got a story we're going to do next week on steelhead. The steelhead change in Michigan, it's reducing the take. Reducing the take up on fishing. People are like, well, one, why? This is dumb. I'm not going to go for just one. And sometimes it's a principle of the matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts on what you think.
Listeners out there, have...
Well, no matter what state you're in.
Doesn't matter.
This happens to be Wisconsin.
You have an opinion?
That we're talking about.
Send it to us at info@thevalleyoutdoors.com. Yep. And again, Don, you know, the big thing for me is when you look at the pieces and parts that come into this, it's a polarizing issue, which is unfortunate. And it will have an implication on everyone. Whether you like it or not, it will have it.
What percentage of the boats that are fishing today do you think have them at this point? Is it like 10% maybe?
Because I would say to 15%.
Yeah,
the funny part, Don, though, is this. If you go look at boats, you can't tell by the boat. You can have a guy with a 16 or a 17-foot open fishing boat, tiller or whatever.
Yep.
And he'll have two 12-inch Solex or two 12-inch Helix Munis, and he'll have a forward-facing sonar on it, and he'll have everything. Because you know what? The boat doesn't matter. It's, hey, I want the electronics to be able to figure out where I'm at, et cetera. So oftentimes we actually categorize that somebody as having a smaller boat is going to have less electronics and everything else. Nowadays that's changed.
Oh, yeah. And no, I'm not indicating that. I'm just saying that I think it's only a couple of years old. It's maybe two, three at the
I think
maybe Garmin was the first one to come out with it. Now Lowrance has it. Hummingbird has it. So it's relatively new, but I think they're pretty well sold out.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's getting easier to use, and the easier it becomes, the further down in the lineup it's going to become. You know, we talked to Chris Meyer earlier. Those kinds of things are going to come up, and they're going to be impactful in what you guys are doing out in the field. You know, there's a story on lead shot, same thing. Do we ban lead in all of those pieces and parts and in hunting that was posed to Wisconsin? We'll talk about that next week. But all of it comes into play. Do you want to ban lead? Well, then you start looking at the high schools. We're going to be talking with the federal and as well as John Nelson from the high school's shooting sports. Everybody's affected in some way, shape, or form. So keep that in mind. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today, guys. That is the Valley Outdoors. Hope you had a good time. We did. And for Don, for Abe and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Hope you have a great weekend. See ya.